of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. We know that the Lord will bless His word to our hearts this morning. Let's please pause for a word of prayer. Our eternal Father, as we come to wait before Thee now this morning, with Thy precious word open to us, we are thankful for the joy and the privilege of being in the house of God in the place of prayer. We're thankful for the Psalms and for the hymns we've been able to sing unto Thy great name. And Lord, our prayer now is that as we have read this word, it would be most certainly written upon each one of our hearts. We don't say those words lightly. We say them, O God, with the most earnest intention, that the Spirit of God will take these things which are lying on the page of Scripture, and they will come alive to us. And the Holy Ghost will use this word and write it upon our soul so that our lives will be affected by this truth. Lord, so often we have to say that we read the Scriptures and our eyes are closed. We read the Word of God and our minds are shut and our hearts are cold. And so we ask today that we would be quickened and stirred up in our soul. We would be drawn nearer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for those who are in our gathering or listening over the internet without Christ, we pray that the Holy Ghost will speak to their hearts. For those who are Thy children, may each one of us be encouraged and challenged, and may we be convicted of the word of the Lord today. Hear us now, we ask of Thee, Father. Draw near and bless us. We pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. One of the awful tolls of our sin in our lives is that it breaks our relationships. It divides between husbands and wives. It breaks between mothers and daughters and fathers and sons, brothers and sisters. And how sad it is to hear of circumstances where people have gone on for years and they have not spoken a word to some close relative because there has been a breaking of that relationship. And it is the result of sin. quite most of the time, sin in both parties. Sin has its awful consequences in our lives. And we have all tasted and we have all known the bitterness of those consequences in us. And we have had to come and say, Lord, be merciful unto me, the sinner. And the word I want to bring to you today is found in verse 9 of this chapter of God's Word. It says this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I have a most blessed task today. For I'm able to come and to speak to you upon the authority of the Word of God and say that God loves to forgive sinners. God wants to forgive your sin today. And we read in that Psalm this morning, 130, and how the Lord loves to forgive, and how He has redeemed His own people unto Himself. And He forgave all the iniquity of Israel. The Lord loves to forgive sin. Friends, we make a great mistake today if we look upon the Lord as someone who is angry, a tyrant, one who is unmerciful, one to whom we cannot come to and speak to with every concern and care and sin in our life and come to confess that sin unto Him. For we have a most gracious Heavenly Father. But on the other hand, we can make no mistake about the truth that we have all broken His law. And because we have broken the law of God, the Lord has made it very clear that there is a punishment for the breaking of His holy word and law. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That is the word of the Lord. And that is part of the makeup of our great God, of His justice and His mercy, and both of these attributes in parallel, not either one of them being abused. For God in His justice must bring judgment upon sin, but in His compassion and mercy, He is one who loves to forgive and has promised to forgive us our sin. So I pray that the Lord will take this truth this morning and will write this word upon every heart. For there is someone here, I am certain, to whom this word must be addressed today. Someone here, and perhaps you have never come to trust the Lord as your own Savior. And there is a mountain of sin that is against you. And the Lord is waiting to be gracious to you. He is waiting that you will respond to His own precious word and the appeal of His word. And so I compel you to turn to Christ. I would compel you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, to repent of that sin and to know that He is prepared to wash that sin away. But to the child of God this morning, for that is the context to whom this verse was written by the Apostle John, the context is to the people of God, those who know Christ as Savior. And this word comes to us afresh today. If we confess our sins, and this is what true repentance is all about. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God has given to us the scriptural ground of what true forgiveness is. And it is confession of that sin. And the word confess is made up of two words in the Bible. It is made up of a word meaning together and word itself. So when you put them, it is a together word or it is something that is running in parallel They are equal. So if I say something, it is the truth of my expression and the meaning of my heart. And confession is just that. It is meaning that you are indeed sorry for your sin. We must be clear that there is a great difference between the confession of sin and simply the admitting or the acknowledging of sin. I think we have all been there before. Either we have been confronted with people who have had to admit to some sin or wrongdoing, but it is only upon the ground that they have been found out for their sin. And at that point, they have no other option but they must acknowledge that sin. But that's not what true confession is. True confession comes from the heart of the individual. True confession is what the Bible calls a godly sorrow unto repentance. And it consists of much more than just words that are being uttered. It has to enter into the depths of the heart of what is earnest sincerity. It's not the word of the hypocrite. It's not the word of the man who stood before the temple and thanked God for his righteousness and thanked God that he was not like other men. That man was a hypocrite. That man was filled with pride. But the other man, who would not even so much as lift up his eyes toward heaven, but smote upon his heart and breast and said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That man manifested true confession of sin. For it was a heart confession. Godly, true confession of sin will always manifest certain characteristics. It will always manifest an unqualified admission of guilt. What does this mean? It means that there are no excuses in acknowledging and confessing your sin. There is no such thing as blaming other people. The Adam syndrome, if we could call it that, whereby he blamed the woman for his sin, has followed down through history. And all of us, when we are confronted with sin, at some time or another, we feel we want to blame that, or at least put some of the blame on someone else. But true confession of sin is an absolute acknowledgement of the guilt that belongs to us. We could say that we own the guilt. It is our sin. The very nature of what true confession is, it's acknowledging, yes, Lord, I am the sinner. I am the one who deserves the punishment. There cannot be true confession of sin as long as there is any shade or tint of a justification of the wrongdoing. I could multiply illustrations to you this morning from where we have seen in experiences and dealing with young people and sometimes sadly parents who are unwilling to admit and acknowledge the capability of their children to sin. Jim Banks, who taught theology in our theological hall in Northern Ireland, he said these words. He said, if a man does not understand the complexities and the depth of total depravity, he will not understand that that is the root of all problems within families and relationships and society. And what did he mean by that? He meant that if we don't understand the depth of the sin of our own heart, if we don't get a grasp to understand just how corrupt our hearts really are, then we're going to be prone to make excuses for our sinful activities. We will not own our sin as our own. And my friend, today, I must say to you that if you have true confession in your heart, there will be an absolute acknowledgement of the sin that is your own sin. You own it. And no one else is responsible for it. And no one else can be blamed for it. And no one else will share the blame for it. Because it is your sin. Our confession to the Lord has got to be specific. Because often when we enter into just general confession of sin, that's as far as it goes. And it may include a lot of other people. It may include others in a congregation or in a family. But our confession of sin must be very specific to the sin that we are engaged in or that we have done, that has grieved the Lord and has caused a division and a breaking of our relationship. And it must be a complete confession, not just part of it, but the whole must be bound up in that confession. And sometimes someone will say, but I cannot remember all of my sins that I have done. But you know enough of them. And every sin and every aspect of the sin that is now at this very moment eating away at you and convicting you. For I feel that someone here this morning is in great need of this word. There is something that is lurking in your heart, some unconfessed sin. And until you acknowledge that the sin is yours in its entirety and the admission of that guilt specifically and completely, you will never have true peace in your heart. Not only is there an unqualified admission of the guilt, but there has to be evidenced a genuine remorse for sin. When this element is missing, there is justifiable ground to question whether there has been true repentance or not. When there is a flippancy to do with confession of sin, when the weight of the transgression has not fully been realized, then the understanding of what true repentance is will not come to pass. I give you the illustration of what happened with David when he numbered the people in the Old Testament. After he had numbered the people, he had sent Joab out through all of Israel to bring him back the number. And at the moment that Joab returned and told David, his heart smote him, for he knew he had sinned against God. And the sin was that he was looking to build up his own empire. He was looking to see what David had done and what David had built, not acknowledging that God was the one who had done everything in the man's life, and he had nothing to boast in. But what happened in the judgment that was to follow in the discipline against David, judgment came. And it was when the death angel hovered over Jerusalem and was ready to inflict judgment upon the entire city. It was at that point that David really realized the great weight of his sin. It was at that moment that he understood that all of this was brought on because of my own guilt. There had to be a full understanding and a genuine remorse for the sin that had been committed. And if there is not that true remorse, and if judgment or discipline or punishment follows, and there is not a true godly remorse for the sin, you know what will happen? Bitterness will build up in the life. People will become angry. Angry against God, angry against others who have exposed their sin. And we see it repeated in our own relationships. We see it over and over again. My friend, there has to be a genuine, deep heart remorse for the things that we have done against the Lord. And also there has to be an abhorrence for that sin that has offended a holy God. It's not enough to just to make these words and then to trifle with sin and then so easily go back into the same sin again. There has to be an abhorrence with it. And to it. Is it not true that we are ready too often to entertain the situation that led us into sin? Coming very close to the edge of the world. Coming so close that we might enjoy some of the pleasures or the fruits of that sin. And before long, we're so ensnared by it again because the devil is a wily foe and he knows our weaknesses. Do not trifle with sin. Could I say to the young people here today, pay very close attention to the Word and to the warnings of the Word of God. Do not trifle with the things of this world, for as you get close to the world, it will ensnare you and it will draw you in. There has to be an abhorrence to that which has offended God. Have we become immune to the ugliness of our sin? The ugliness before a holy God? Our sin which sends up a stinking savor into the very nostrils of our God, and yet we do it so easily. We entertain sin so lightly. And the horrible aspect and nature of it seems not to enter into our heart. Oh, that we would know a holy hatred for every sin that we have committed, that has grieved the Spirit of God and that drives us away, that breaks our fellowship, our relationship with our God. May the Lord cause us to fear to sin. A holy fear to sin. This was the characteristic that took place off the coast of Scotland in 1949 and 50 in the Lewis Revival. That's the characteristic that was so permeating all the believers at that time. And it was testified that the people had a fear to sin against the Lord. Because the presence of God was so evident, because they were conscious of the nearness of God, and they did not want, they feared to sin against Him. Do you have that in your life today? Do I have that in my heart today? There must also be then a determination to turn from and not return unto the same sin. This is a key evidence that true confession has been made. If we do not turn from our sin will turn us from God. Sin, when it is once confessed, must be at once forsaken, said a commentator, joined with this inward abandonment of sin, there must also be an outward abandonment. We must forsake our sins both in disposition and in action. Is that the testimony of your own heart today? Or is there someone here and you have to say that I have been trifling too long and I've been entertaining things in my heart for too long that have grieved the Spirit of God? There cannot be blessing in the life. There cannot be blessing in our church as long as we are not living our life in a sold out position to the Lord. Scripture says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Confessing the true word, joined with the true action from the heart, genuine confession of sin. Do not allow our fellowship with the Lord to be hindered by this unconfessed sin. The Lord says in 1 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, that it is the main ingredient of the Lord's blessing and revival. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, confess their sin. Is there something today that is hindering you from going on and enjoying the blessing of God? Maybe one of you would have to say, well, I have confessed that sin. I have endeavored to forsake that sin, but it keeps coming back. And it keeps hounding me. And it keeps snapping at my heels. And it seems at every turn, I submit to it and I surrender to it and I fall down under it again. My friend, with a holy determination by the power of God and by the blood of Jesus Christ, you must stand against that temptation. And the Lord has promised in His Word, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And the Lord will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. The Lord provides for us the remedy. But you know, in our own wicked heart, what we often do, we look, stare right in the face at the Lord's barrier, and then we jump over it or go around it. Until we have again satisfied our own lustful desires. There has to be a determination by the grace of God to turn from and not return. And if you have fallen again in that sin, we must come back to realize that we are justified by the grace and the free grace of the Lord Jesus. And we cannot merit the Lord's forgiveness by reading the Bible more, by praying more, by coming to services more regularly. All of those things should be done at any cost, at any way. But we must come back to just call out upon the Lord and acknowledge that we have sinned against Him and plead for His mercy once more. Against thee, David said, and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Not only is there confession in this verse, but there is also the response of a just and merciful God, for He says, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord is faithful. He is faithful to us in His promise. He will not turn away from His word. And my friend, thank God today, great is the faithfulness of the Lord and His faithfulness in His promise to us that He will forgive. Therefore, come. Come immediately. Do not wait. Do not put it off till tomorrow. Do not wait until you have reformed yourself appropriately and then come to confess. No. Come in all of your sin. Come in all of the ugliness of your sin. And call out unto the Lord. And He will be faithful in the promise that He has given. He is also faithful in the provision to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, for He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will see and the Lord who will provide. He provided that day for Abraham. He provided the lamb, the ram caught in the thicket. He provided a sacrifice for sin. And He provided the greatest sacrifice of the Lamb of God to bear away the sin of the world. And He, in making that provision, is faithful to provide a way for your redemption, a way for your forgiveness, a way for your salvation. For God the Father provided His only begotten Son, and Christ Jesus is the great provision for our sin. He is the only provision for our sin. If you think you're going to have provision some other way, you are horribly mistaken. And like the Jews, as Paul said in Romans chapter 10, that they went about to establish their own righteousness and have not accepted the righteousness of God, which is Jesus Christ, the only provision for sin. Our God is faithful in His promise. He is faithful in providing for us His only begotten Son. And He is just. He is righteous to forgive and to cleanse. The question arises, how can God be just and righteous if on one hand He says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, and that includes every person in this building today. Every person here is a sinner, guilty and condemned before God. And if the Lord says, you as a sinner, that soul must die, how then can He be just and righteous in providing and making a way of salvation for you? And the answer to that question is found in the salvation that He has provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because sin, my friend, can never be set aside. Sin must always be punished. And sin will either be punished in you, the individual, or it will be punished in a substitute. And that was the whole message of the Old Testament scripture, that an innocent lamb would be taken from the flock, the lamb that was around the family, the lamb that the children perhaps played with, that lamb would be taken, an innocent creature, and its blood would be spilled. All by way of type and shadow, looking forward to the cross, to the coming of the Lamb of God to bear away the sin of the world. And the Lord, for we a rebellious people, for this rebellious house, the Lord promised forgiveness and cleansing. He promised to give us a new heart. He promised to give us a new life. He has promised to forgive and to cleanse. In providing the Lord Jesus as our sin bearer, the Lord God both remains just, and He is the justifier of them which believe in Him. How can that be? The only way it can be, my friend, is by our sin being placed upon Christ. The punishment that you and I deserved, the punishment for our sin that would have been experienced in an eternal hell, was all meted upon the Lamb of God. It was all poured out upon Christ. And that is the way that God was able to remain just and be the justifier of those that believe in His Son. Indeed, the soul that sinneth must die. And so my sin was placed upon Christ, and He bore the shame of my sin. He bore the penalty of my sin. He bore the awful weight of my punishment, and it was all brought to bear upon Him. So that I am now set free. Righteousness has been satisfied in all of its requirements. And the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. You cannot find a greater expression of the love of God than by looking to the cross of Christ. The love of God to a sinful world is manifested in the cross work of the Lord Jesus. And as God the Father meted out judgment upon His Son, He did so that you and I could go free. So that you and I could taste and see that the Lord is gracious, that you and I today can stand and say, I am redeemed, O praise the Lord. That I can say today, my sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to His cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. God's faithfulness and His justice are met together in the cross work of the Lord Jesus. And it is upon that ground that you and I today can say with rejoicing, I have been forgiven much. I have been forgiven so that now I know that my sins are gone. They are cast into the sea of His forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us again. And I have a home in heaven to look forward to. And so you might say, well, what about all the sins that I have committed in my life? And they are many. What about those sins that keep coming back to my mind and they haunt me and they plague me and they beat me? You must say, as the Lord says to you, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. Because they are all gone. They have been put beneath the blood of Christ. And so, in this chapter we have read in verse 7, it says so clearly that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We are under the blood of Christ today. We are under the canopy of that protecting blood. And because it has been shed for us, we have redemption today. We can stand justified fully and freely by His grace if we confess our sins. He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's bow, please, in prayer. And as we're still now before the Lord in prayer, is there someone here and you realize that you're not in fellowship with God? Your sin is still a great weight in your life, and you need to get that put right, and do so now, right where you're seated. Call out unto the Lord that He in mercy would forgive your sin and give you everlasting life. Maybe there's some believer and you have to admit that you're not walking with the Lord because of some sin that has been ongoing. Now is the day to put that right and to have the fellowship of the Lord restored in your own life. Right where you're seated now, just ask the Lord. Just confess that sin unto Him and say, Lord, be merciful unto me, the sinner. Our Father, we thank Thee today for the blessed truth and promise of this word. And I pray that for any who are under the weight of their own sin, that they will find freedom and release today in calling upon the Lord. And for those of us who have to acknowledge that we have failed Thee many, many times, Lord, do not let those sins of our youth or sins of our past or sins of yesterday or even today, let not those things go unconfessed, but work in and through us, we pray, that we'll be in close fellowship with our God and close fellowship one with another in the bond of truth. Hear our prayer today. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We'd like to sing that hymn, number 271.